And welcome to the Social Disease Podcast. I'm Bridget.
And I'm Jasper.
And today we are finally wrapping up season 13.
Part two.
Thank God. Feels like I've been watching this season for like half of the year at this point, which probably have been, honestly.
Yeah. But yeah, we have a lot to get through today, so we should probably just get right into it.
No more chit chat here. We're just going to dive right in. But in case you didn't listen to last week's or whatever, we're doing Claire, Drew, Becky, and Imogen part two. So this is after Adam's death and after Claire's cancer plot disappears forever.
Yeah. So both of those things basically have no relevancy to anything we're going to be talking about.
Yeah. Just pretend they didn't happen because everybody else does.
Well, I do have like 5 points where I guarantee I'm going to be like, you know, this plot would have been so much better if they brought it back to Adam or to the cancer thing. So listen for that because it's gonna happen.
I'll just take a drink every time you do that.
But yeah, basically in terms of our analysis of this, we're just going to not relate it back to Adam or cancer because the show didn't, so why should we? But we're going to be starting with Miss Imogen Marino. So the first thing that she does is the whole dress code plot. So Imogen gets in trouble in class for forgetting to wear a bra. So she like gets sent home for the day because like her nipples are pointing out and Luke, that asshole, is like making fun of her and stuff. So she ends up making a segment on Degrassi TV about the school's stringent dress code, which initially pisses Mr. Simpson off and gets Degrassi TV taken off the air. Especially when like this whole segment causes other girls, especially like the freshmen, like Frankie, they kind of start also not following the dress code, which makes some problems. Imogen ends up creating a face range page protesting the dress code for being sexist and having multiple double standards against girls, and ultimately works at getting Simpson to hear her out and asking Imogen for her input for what she actually wants the dress code to be. But she then realizes that she hadn't actually thought about what she actually wanted things to change to. So she kind of holds a bit of a town hall and the freshman girls are like, we just want to dress like a slut so that the boys will notice us, which Imogen isn't like super on board with. So she then proposes a dress code based off of your intention of what you're wearing for the day. So it's like, if you forget to wear a bra, that's not a big deal because you weren't intending to be distracting. But if like you purposefully wear booty shorts to distract people, then you'll get in trouble. I don't know how that works practically, but that's basically how the plot ends. From there is actually a plot about Becky and Imogen's friendship. So this new girl, Jack, comes in and Imogen is pretty much immediately enraptured in her. She's like super power lesbian. And Becky gets pretty jealous that Imogen's attention is now going on to Jack instead of her. So Becky starts feeling a bit insecure that she's going to lose Imogen as a friend, especially because this is after the whole Luke assault thing with Zoe. So Becky, in a misguided attempt to kind of lock down their friendship, she ends up asking Imogen to the school dance as her date. And Imogen is like, oh, Becky, I didn't know that like you felt that way. So it's a whole kind of miscommunication. So Becky kind of tries to play gay for a little bit, but she can't really bring herself to do it. And like when she's like slow dancing with Becky, she's like, I'm so uncomfortable. And she's like, I can't do this. I can't be gay. It's not me. And she then says that she just wants to be friends with Imogen. Imogen is like, why didn't you just say that? Like, you stupid. And then Becky then convinces Jack to go ask Imogen to dance. So kind of the start of Jack and Imogen as well. A bit of time passes. Imogen and Jack are flirting a storm away throughout Degrassi. So Becky convinces Imogen to ask Jack out. And Jack invites Imogen to her dance studio, where Imogen sees like how cool of a dancer that Jack is, and also how all of the girls at the dance studio are so in love with Jack. At the end of the dance class, Jack and Imogen end up smoking a blunt together. So they get really high, they're dancing together, and they end up kissing. At the same time, Imogen is kind of planning a fashion show for Degrassi. And she like has made all these designs for the clothes that people are going to wear. But she starts feeling insecure when Jack says that Imogen's designs for the fashion show are nice. So she thinks that Jack, being the cool hipster girl that she is, does not like her designs. So she ends up changing all of the designs into like these really avant-garde trash type of aesthetic. And this really pisses Becky off. She makes Imogen like go sit in the corner or whatever. Like there's a whole little tiff between them. But Imogen ends up apologizing in front of everybody at the fashion show and like kind of making up with Becky. And then both Imogen and Jack confess to each other that they are intimidated by each other, which is kind of a cute moment, but also a little weird. But Imogen and Jack officially get together at this point. And that is it for Imogen.
Nice. Okay. So to start with the, I guess you want to do the dress code stuff?
Yeah.
So it's funny. I did a little research because I was kind of curious about what my school's dress code is currently, as I am a teacher. And if you didn't know. And we're like in the process of rewriting the code of conduct. So there's not like an official thing set, but there will be one starting next year. But basically, it's the same thing that Imogen created. Like it is very similar to the points that they have currently are like, as long as it is not offensive or like really inappropriate, you can pretty much just like wear whatever you want.
That's so interesting. I feel like I've never actually heard of that actually being used before.
Yeah, the only thing that has a dress code is actually the phys ed classes. And that dress code is going to be written by the gym teachers and what they want for the class.
Yeah, and that's like you need to wear like sweatpants and stuff, right?
Yeah, pretty much was just like you need to have t-shirts, sneakers, shorts, or like sweatpants, basically.
Yeah, but that makes sense.
Yeah, so our school is kind of going the same way where it's like progressive in the sense that like as long as it's not completely over the top, it's fine. And honestly, there's not a lot of issues I have with what kids are wearing. Like nobody's really wearing like super short shorts. No one's wearing like super crop tops or just like bras or anything. So I can kind of see why this like works.
Yeah, because I know that our high school had like the whole no spaghetti straps. Like you can't wear a hat in class. What's the thing with the hands?
Oh, the 2-inch like finger rule for the straps.
I'm thinking the length of a skirt. Like it needs to be longer than your hand length.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Okay.
So I know that our school had kind of those rules.
We're changing. The times are changing and I agree with it. But it was kind of funny to see that like back to Degrassi, that Imogen didn't even really know what she wanted from the results. And honestly, I never would have thought the same thing. Like, how can you trust kids with like this big of a decision? You know, like, are they going to follow through? Or are they going to like just dress like little hoes? Or like guys, you should see some of these guy shorts are shorter than the girls now. But it like really did work out. Like everyone's like, I don't want to ruin it for everybody. So I'm just going to dress how I normally dress. You know what? It's realistic. I'll give it to them.
Yeah, like the whole point that like Degrassi was making with the freshmen that like they were trying to dress provocatively, I don't think anybody really does that.
I don't think like currently, no. But I also don't have freshmen in my high school. It's only grades 10 through 12. So I think by the time you get to 10th grade, like you're not trying to impress anyone. Whereas like maybe as a freshman, you're like, oh, I want to like look old to impress like seniors or like whatever. But
yeah, like I was thinking like Manny, for example, like she was clearly dressing a certain way to attract attention from boys.
Yes, that's not that common.
Yeah, so I feel like I'm sure it does happen, but I don't think anybody is really like going out of their way necessarily to like dress provocatively to like catch boys' attention. I feel like that doesn't really happen. So the fact that they were kind of making that point was a little weird.
Yeah, they're just trying to figure out like, how can we make this possibly a problem?
Yeah. I do think the plot overall kind of worked in terms of like calling out the double standards that exist for boys versus girls, because it is definitely a thing.
Yes.
So it was nice in that way, but in terms of character development for Imogen, it was just kind of like there. Honestly thought this could have gone to anybody and it would have worked just as fine.
Well, I think we'll talk about it more, but part of me kind of thinks this is like low-key a Becky trying to show growth plot again, because she's the one that had issues with like, I feel like every time like Becky would be like, oh, well, that's not appropriate, or like dress codes are necessary. Like, Becky's very anti-woman is pretty much what it sounds like to me through all of her plots. So I feel like maybe this could have been like a, oh my gosh, wow, it's like true. Women can dress and not be hoes. Like, I feel like that could have went that way.
I don't really remember anything that Becky did in the storyline, so I can't really
comment. She was in the beginning kind of like pushing back on Imogen and being like, we need rules, because if there aren't rules, then like, what are we supposed to do? But in the end, it was kind of like low-key her idea to be like, maybe we should just like not have any rules. I don't know. It could be a little bit of growth on her part.
Well, I'm sure we'll talk about this later, but I feel like Becky's whole season is kind of like her deconstructing many of her beliefs that she got from her family.
Yes, this could have like tied into that, but yeah, she wasn't around too much. It was more of just an Imogen thing.
Yeah, and for Imogen, like the only real part of development for her here was like her realizing she didn't have a plan for what she actually wanted.
Which I think is like kind of good too, because we always see like in the beginning with Emma had all these plans to do things, and you know, if they were successful, she knew what she wanted. And it's kind of one of those unrealistic things where it's like, how much change can you like actually bring, right? Especially as a kid. So then when Imogen's like going out to make change, they're like, all right, well, what do you want? And she's like, I didn't think that far. I feel like that kind of, that's more realistic as a kid than anything.
Yeah, it's like you recognize an injustice and you know it needs to change, but you don't really know enough as to what actually needs to change necessarily.
Yes, and I kind of like that. I like that we watched her figure it out.
Yeah, but otherwise this was just kind of like a one-off. It was cute, but take it or leave it.
Yeah, it was just a little school plot.
Let's go into Becky and Imogen's friendship.
I like it. It's cute. I approve. I like that like Becky refers to her as like her first best friend, even though I guess like screw Adam, huh? But
or Jenna.
Or yeah, I thought about Jenna too. I was like, what happened to Jenna?
Yeah, I was like, Becky and Jenna just don't talk anymore, I guess.
Well, probably after Becky tried to like convert her to
But they were friends after that, so
yeah, maybe it's just tough to get back into things. I don't know.
Yeah. But like what I realized about Imogen's plots in season 13, especially with regards to Jack, is that both of the plots that like kind of involve Jack are actually about Becky and Imogen's friendship.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either. I also like forgot how much Jack actually is around. The only real episodes I could remember were the dancing episode and then like the fashion show when she's kind of there. Like I forgot that there were other things that happened with Jack. So like I think I shit on her a little too much. Like she was kind of around. She was kind of like the blue of this season.
Yeah. But, like, I guess my point is that Jack and Imogen work in season 13 because the focus isn't actually on them. It's actually on Becky and Imogen, who are a more compelling relationship.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was definitely more interesting.
And then in season 14, when the focus is actually on Imogen and Jack as a couple, it's just awful.
Looking forward to it.
But, yeah, the whole Becky being jealous plot was really so cute. Because it, like, again, it fits into Becky kind of having this sheltered worldview and she doesn't really know how to interact with people. It's kind of similar to how she tried to befriend Jenna in season 12. Like, what was it? She kind of ambushed her with like the church meeting or something.
Yeah.
So it kind of fits into how Becky is kind of just an awkward person in general. And especially at this point, this is after the whole Luke thing. So Becky is pretty much fully isolated from everybody, including her family. Mm. So Imogen is really like the only person that she has left. She's just trying to cling on to that, because if she doesn't have Imogen, she'll have literally nobody. I was also thinking it's kind of similar to the video games thing that happens with her.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's Drew, but whatever. He's a little busy right now with Claire, I guess.
Yeah, she's not even really talking to Drew much at this point.
Yeah.
So yeah, Becky just being jealous was just so cute to me. And honestly, when I was initially watching these episodes, I was a bit worried that they were actually going to make Becky gay.
Really?
Yeah, like for a second. It was like, since they were having her act gay, I was like, are they actually going to make Becky gay? I was a little worried about it at first, because with respect to Adam, that would have been them invalidating Adam's gender in kind of the same way that they did with Fiona.
Yes, I was thinking the exact same thing, because like rewatching this, I forgot that she like not like pretended to be gay, but like I don't really understand exactly what she did, because her intentions weren't that at first, and then they like were. It was like kind of weird.
Yeah, it was like Imogen misinterpreted Becky's asking her to the dance, and then Becky kind of felt she had to go along with it.
Well, that's the thing too. It's like she got the advice from Drew to be like, oh, why don't you just like ask her to like do something together as like friends? And then the way that she worded it was obviously strange. The whole thing was just strange, because it's like she picked up that Imogen thought it was a date. She should have been like right there, oh, I meant just like as friends, like I feel like we should hang out more as friends. But instead she like fed into it.
Which is kind of the whole Becky is awkward thing.
But is that awkward, or is that like taking advantage of Imogen in that situation?
Well, I think she was just so afraid of losing Imogen, because again, that was her only person at that point.
Like Drew called her out for it later and was like, why would you do that? Like now she thinks you're dating. And then she's like, well, maybe I could do it. Like, what? It's like, why are you being manipulative? Like, just admit that you fucked up and be like, can we just be friends? Like, what? I don't know. It rubbed me the wrong way, because it's like, why are you like screwing with this girl for no reason?
I cut her some slack just because she is going through it at this time.
I don't know. There's only so much I can pretend that she doesn't realize what's going on.
Yeah.
But also the fact that like Imogen was like, maybe I'll like consider this. I was like, what is going on, Imogen? You don't want to date Becky.
Right.
You don't do that.
Right. So it was just like a whole thing of miscommunication, and Becky just being a little weird because she has lots of problems at the moment.
For real.
But for their friendship overall, like I do really like them. Like they work very well together. They're very good supports for each other when either one is the focus. And it's honestly probably the only good part of Imogen staying, her friendship with Becky.
I really like Imogen's friendships with everybody, though. Like, even if they're not as serious, like, her and Dallas are cute. Her and Drew are cute. Her and, like, I guess that's pretty much it. Claire, I guess?
Yeah, she has some cute moments with Claire.
Like, I just like the little student council group that they have going on. I'm a big fan.
Yes.
I want to be a part of it.
Although again, the whole Imogen telling Adam thing is always going to be in the back of my mind.
Okay, anyway, Imogen and Jack.
Well, just one last thing, like I really liked how Becky and Imogen really had storylines devoted to developing their friendship, because I feel like that isn't really something that happens a lot of the time on Degrassi, that they actually put time into having friends have conflicts and then kind of resolving it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, of course they have it here and there, like Spinner and Jimmy and Emma and Manny especially, but like all of their interactions felt pretty natural. The fact that there was like a lot of time devoted to them actually like developing as friends from the literal first episode of the season, Becky is trying to get Imogen far away from Adam.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just really nice to see them develop over time and how they actually worked really well as friends together.
I liked it too. Especially since we do have a lot of built-in friendships on Degrassi, which makes it a lot easier to just like go from there. So it's nice to just see their friendship grow.
Yes, for sure. Okay. Imogen and Jack. So like I said earlier, they are an awful relationship.
Well, we haven't like gotten to the awful part yet.
No, we haven't. But yeah, so I guess the few scenes of them actually being a couple in this season are okay. I thought the dance scene was pretty cute. Like, they're not demonizing weed for once, thank God.
Debatable. Becky did, like, 1 second later, but it's fine.
Yes, but it's, like, that's because Becky would do that, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. It was just so funny. She's like, oh my God, you couldn't do the sketches because you were so tired from smoking. She took like one hit of a joint from right? smoking last night with your girlfriend. It's like, Becky, get your head out of your ass. This is too much for me.
Yeah. But like I mentioned in the last episode, pretty much the only reason Imogen was kept on the show was so that they could have like a female LGBT member, which I recognize as like a net positive because representation is always important. But Imogen and Jack are really just there to be the lesbian relationship. They don't really do much in the season outside of, hey, look, we have two girls who are dating, you know? So even though like the few moments they have together this season are cute, it's like in the back of my mind, it's always just like Imogen was so much better with Fiona. So like Jack is just a stand-in because Fiona isn't around.
Sorry, this is going to probably put us off topic. Are there any couples that you feel like that weren't like that? Like, not to say that there weren't any. Like, I don't want to go into every single, like, just because there's only one gay relationship doesn't mean it's for show. But is that the case a lot of times? Because like, I feel like Imogen being either bisexual, gay, whatever she is, she's bound to get into a relationship. So it's kind of like every single character in the season is like dating somebody at some point. Like there's not a single one that's not. So like, do you think it's just being like, oh, here are lesbians, or like, was it just a matter of time? Like Claire was in like two relationships at one time in this season. And then Becky dates her dead boyfriend's brother. Like, I don't know if it's exactly just for show or LGBTQ. Like, I think they were going to put Imogen in a relationship and they gave it some time since Fiona. Like it didn't happen until about midway through the season.
Yes.
So I think it might be legit. I think this is like not a just like, wow, we need more representation. Like, I think that they were going to put Imogen into a relationship regardless of what was happening. Is it fair that it's like a blue Holly J relationship? Like, probably not, but I don't really know what the other option would have been. Grace, if they already had just put her out. Like,
oh, if only Grace was gay.
We'll could you imagine there. Grace and Imogen together?
No.
That would be so funny.
But yeah, I guess I see what you mean, because like it is pretty much usually the case that you have the main gay character and then you bring on a plus one for them to date. Like it happened with Marco and Dylan, Riley and Zane. So Jack is kind of just the next iteration of that, I guess. But I guess for me, it's just Jack doesn't have much of a personality.
Oh, she definitely doesn't.
So I think that's really the difference for me, because it's like Dylan and Zane and like even Rasha later on, for example, they all have like, you know who they are and like why they're together with their partner makes sense. Like there's build up to it. They have chemistry. With Jack, it's like, she's just a pretty white girl. There's nothing else to her.
Well, she's, you know, she's cool.
She's cool like, and patriarchy. Hipster, and she hates Taylor Swift.
Yep.
There's nothing for me to like about this girl. Like I said, Imogen and Jack's like flirtatious moments are okay, but like it just doesn't work for me as to like why do they even like each other.
Okay, so if they had put more time into like writing Jack, you feel like it wouldn't just be just an LGBTQ relationship?
Probably, but even then, like Fiona and Imogen were so great that I feel like anybody who Imogen is with, who's a new character, is just not going to hold up. Because like Imogen and Adam would have worked, for example, I think, because they're both established characters. We know who they are. If they put time into developing them, I think that could have worked. But like with a new character like Jack, it's like, okay, this person was brought on to date Imogen.
Yeah.
When
but they do that for straight people on the show too. Blue, I keep calling Blue literally, Jack is lesbian Blue.
Well, but Blue didn't work either. We know that. So
Yeah. But like, it was just a, I don't know. I don't want to like fight you on it, but I want you to be more positive too at the same time. Like I want to give Degrassi a little more credit than that, than just being like, oh, we got to do it for the viewers.
Okay.
Like, was Imogen not brought on to be Fiona's like crush?
No, Imogen had a whole season before her and Fiona got together.
Oh, I forgot. Well, she did that weird shit with Eli. Well, that was like not even Imogen. That was a weird Imogen.
Yeah, very true.
Okay, but anyway, I get what you're saying though. Yeah, they did not build up Jack to be like a decent character. And like, other than them being both into girls, they don't really have much in common.
No.
I can respect that.
Yeah. And I think probably what happens in season 14 is definitely coloring my perception, which okay. I can admit. But in this season, it's just like they're there, they're gay. That's kind of it.
But you're right. There aren't any other gay characters on the show right now, other than Imogen.
For
right?
Women. For women, yeah.
For women, yeah. Because, I mean, there's Tristan. But like, yeah. Sorry, that's not... I know Tristan exists. We all know.
And Miles.
Well, Miles is... Yeah, he's bi. But you're right, you're right. They have guys. They just don't have girls.
Yeah. Yeah, so just what do you think about Imogen in general for the season, I guess?
I like her. I'm a big fan. She's really grown on me. Like, obviously, in the beginning, it was a little rough because she was trying to, like, take Adam. And, like, I get it. Whatever. But I like her friendship with Becky. I like how insecure she still is, even though she's so confident in herself at the same time. Like, it's just one of those. And I like that she, like, grows to be an important character, too.
Yeah, I like her. And I think it's fine that she is still on the show, even if, again, it doesn't really make sense why she hasn't graduated.
Yeah, but, Drew too, but...
Well, Drew makes sense why he flunked, at least.
Yeah, yeah. But then it's like, now he's like school president, so like, come on. I mean, he's still dumb, but like, come on. But I get what you're saying.
Yeah, but for Imogen, it's like, again, from, like I said last time, they were kind of building up this whole thing with her dad last season. And then kind of the fallout of having lost Fiona. It's like, Imogen is still like one of a kind, but I would have hoped that they would have done more with her than just make her kind of the quirky sidekick.
Okay, that's fair. All right, you want to move on to Becky?
Yes.
Okay.
Becky, the first thing she does post Adam is that she is doing a bit on teen drinking for Degrassi TV, but nobody wants to talk to her about their underage drinking on camera. So she goes and sets her sights on Zoe because of all of the pictures that are going around the school from Miles's party. But Zoe won't really give her anything either. But she receives a video of Zoe getting assaulted from the watcher, and she tries to track down who it is because Becky's initial thesis was like, oh, people who drink and do stupid things should be held accountable for their actions. But she realizes that Zoe was assaulted and that even though she was drunk, it's not her fault. So she kind of does this whole investigation. She ends up accusing Miles and Winston of it at one point, but it turns out not to be them. We find out that the watcher is Grace, and she helps them out. And ultimately, at the end of it all, she finds out that it was Luke, her brother, and Neil who assaulted Zoe. So she finds Luke's phone and finds the video on his phone, and she ultimately gives it to the police when Zoe confronts Luke. So it was kind of a whole thing for her to turn her brother in for doing this. And it really creates a lot of problems in her family and causes her to kind of be isolated at home. Since Luke is on house arrest and her parents are blaming her for kind of turning him in the first place. So she tries to have a conversation at dinner about it, but she gets shut down. So while she's kind of feeling super alone at home, she happens upon Realm of Doom, a video game online where she could play with other people, and she immediately gets obsessed with it, and she ends up meeting Sir Excellence at Realm of Doom. Sir Excellence seems like a very charming young man. They end up going on a virtual date. Becky is kind of talking to him about her problems, and like he's comforting her, blah blah blah, and they end up having cyber sex with their avatars. Honestly, it reminds me of Vampire Claire, this whole plot. I love it just as much. But Becky, because of this cyber sex, she catches feelings for Sir Excellence. But Imogen is like, oh, what if he's a catfish? Blah, blah, blah. So she gets him to show a picture of himself. And it turns out to be Hunter Hollingsworth, who is a freshman. Becky's a senior, by the way. So Becky breaks up with him online. Sir Excellence, aka Hunter, is kind of sad. He ends up finding her in person in the hallway to yell at her for kind of intertwining his online world and the real world, and he calls her a noob. So Becky kind of realizes that she actually needs to confront her problems after this whole situation. So she ends up talking to her mom, saying that, like, I made out with a boy because I've been feeling so isolated from everybody at home. But her mom comforts her and says that she's still a part of the family, and that as a family, they need to stick together and support Luke at his trial. at the trial, Becky is kind of unsure at first as to like whether she wants to go along with what her mom wants her to do and like support her rapist brother, or to actually do the right thing and tell the truth. So she kind of avoids actually speaking at the trial for a little bit. She goes on a school camping trip where she gets paired up with Drew. They get lost in the woods and like they end up talking about the whole situation. And Drew says that he won't blame her for trying to keep her brother around because Drew knows how it feels to lose a brother. They ultimately get found in the woods, and at the courthouse, Becky is like talking to Luke to like try and support him because like as a good sister, she like knows he did a bad thing, but she still loves him. But Luke ends up saying that Zoe never said yes to the whole assault. So Becky ends up telling this while she's on the stand. And this is kind of the turning point for Zoe's trial, where Luke ends up being found guilty and he goes to jail. I think he ends up going to jail for 2 years. Like that's his sentence. And it really ruptures her family. Becky has some things with Drew at the end of the season, but we'll get there later.
Okay. All right. So where do we want to start?
Do you have anything to say about Becky investigating Zoe's assault?
I didn't like it. I didn't think it was like appropriate.
Yeah.
It kind of made it seem like it wasn't a real thing. Cause it's like they posted pretty much naked pictures of Zoe on a wall and were acting like this was like a true crime thing. And in reality, it was like a girl that they know that like is down the hallway from them. And they're just like doing this in school. And I understand the intentions are good, but I feel like it just kind of made it not as serious as it should be. You know, like when she was like, this is my scoop to Simpson. And Simpson was like, I'm calling the police.
Right.
Like, are you dumb? Like, why do you think this is just like a game? Like, I don't think she saw Zoe as a person ever until they were calling the police in. Like, she only had one goal and it was to be on, like, be taken seriously as a journalist.
Right.
So that's why I did not like that at all.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of it. I think we talked about this during the Zoe episode, that it was just kind of part of the weirdness of that whole storyline, that it was really sensationalized because like Zoe was famous, things like that. So yeah, I don't want to hold that against Becky too much because I feel like that was more a writing decision to have it be like a murder mystery type thing.
Yeah, it just made it like unserious to me. And yeah. It's also like, how did you do this and like not let Zoe know either? And they were going around showing people the video.
Right.
And thought it was okay. It just like didn't make any sense to me. I was like, why do we think that this is okay to be doing? And it wasn't just her. Like it was Imogen and Drew also.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's all I really have to say about that.
Yeah. The only other point I had was how at first Becky was like, oh, you're responsible for your drunk actions, blah, blah, blah. But I liked how quickly she turned it around. Like pretty much immediately as soon as she saw how drunk Zoe actually was, she really was like, oh yeah, this girl did not deserve anything that happened to her that night. So I did like how at first she was being like the judgy Becky that we know, but she really quickly turned it around.
It's just hard for me to like her when she has the wrong stances on literally everything. And after a while, I'm like, at what point is it her being sheltered versus her like not even like looking into anything at all? You know, it's like, does she really believe every single thing she says is like correct? Because that's insane. Like her being like, oh my God, if you take one hit of weed, then you're like going to be hungover the next day. And like, oh my God, if you're a girl and you drink, you need to be held responsible for yourself. Like I understand that the whole point is so that she like changes her opinion, but I can't deal with it. It just is pissing me off the more that I watch Becky as the season goes on.
Yeah, I definitely see that because like, I guess that's kind of the point of Becky's character to me, that like Becky starts off as being this very judgmental, very self-righteous person who's like, I know the right way to do things because I go to church, blah, blah, blah. But I think the point of her character is to kind of realize that those beliefs that her family and her religion have bumped into her entire life, once she realizes other perspectives, she's actually willing to hear those other perspectives out and think about that other perspective. And she always realizes what the right thing to do is.
Yeah, I guess I'm just kind of sick of her not thinking for 1 second before she like says anything. And it takes like other people I wish she just questioned herself first. Like, that's the problem I think that I have, is that everything she says she truly believes until somebody else has to be like, that's not how life is. And then she's like, oh, it's like, how are you not realizing these things on your own at least a little bit? Like, was she never going to question them if other people didn't say anything? Like, that's, I think, what kind of annoys me. And it all comes back to, well, she's religious. She doesn't know better. It's like, at what point is that not an excuse anymore?
Yeah, that's a fair point.
I think I'm being harsh on her because I had to watch a lot of freaking Becky and it's like killing me. Like, I really did like her in Adam's plot. Like, I think that was solid. I loved that she had the growth there, but it's just annoying that she still has so much to go. I think that's what's like, it's like, why was there not a domino effect of her being like, oh wait, maybe every single thing I've ever learned is wrong. Like, because that's kind of what it is.
Well, I think she ultimately does realize that when she sees how trash her entire family is.
I guess. I know we're going to talk about the assault, but even when they're like, Luke didn't do anything wrong, she's like, well, maybe he didn't do anything wrong. And it's like, come on! Well,
because her family is gaslighting her.
No, I know, but it's like, it's just so frustrating.
Yeah. But like, this whole season, I think they did a pretty good job of kind of breaking her down from how she started in season 12 as like the bubbly, sunshiny girl who's very hypocritical with everything. And then in season 13, like, she loses Adam, her whole family falls apart, and she realizes her family are rape apologists.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of seeing her break down from that, I thought was a really good character study, because even despite all the things that are happening, she still kind of holds on to her core identity. Like, she never really changes necessarily. Like, she's always firm in her beliefs, no matter what. Like, whether her beliefs at the time are right or wrong, she's still always very firm in them. But what I was thinking about last night while I was kind of making my notes was that season 12 was her kind of realizing that her beliefs, like, about LGBT people in general were wrong with respect to Adam. Season 13 is her being pretty confident in herself that what Luke did is wrong, but everybody telling her, or at least her family telling her, that even though what she thinks is right, it's wrong, I guess, which is kind of an interesting dichotomy, I think, because she believes that what Luke did is wrong because of how her family brought her up. So it's kind of this weird thing where she knows that what Luke did is wrong and that her standing up for Zoe is the right thing to do. But now her family, who are the same people who instilled those values in her, are telling her that it's the opposite. So I thought that was like a really interesting way to kind of go into her character, because season 13 and 14 is kind of her being firm in her beliefs and she is actually in the right, at least in the Zoe case. Yeah, I just thought that was a kind of interesting change from season 12 to 13, where season 12, she had incorrect beliefs, and season 13, she had correct beliefs. In both cases, she is being challenged. But in season 13, she realizes that at the end of the day, what she's doing is right. Season 12, she realized that what she was doing is wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know if that any of that made sense.
No, it does. I just like can't. I just don't think I like her. Like, I like her in the aspect of her character where she's not. I just wish she wasn't always so wrong. Like, I understand that, like, she does come out in the end, but like, there is that conversation she has with Claire where she was like, well, technically they didn't have sex. It's like, okay, that's not the point of this. Like, you know, like, she's still throughout the whole thing kind of saying the wrong thing, even though we know in her head she's like, I'm right, like, Zoe shouldn't have been assaulted, you know. But it just takes like the whole season to kind of, until the court case when she like makes the right decision to say exactly what had happened. But I can't get behind her until then. Like, it is tough to watch. I like her as a person. I like her as a friend with Imogen. I like her as a friend with Drew. I like her with Adam. But her views are just what it's getting me.
Yeah, I guess for me, like, just seeing how terrible her family is the entire time.
No, and it's definitely, like, is horrible on her. And, like, she does not deserve that either. Like, I totally get that. It's just like, I hate that it kind of falls into the category of like, at what point are we gonna stop teaching people and they need to do their own research? Like, for her, it's like everybody's always teaching her.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's what I think is kind of like annoying me, but it's fine. Like, that is that's not really a Degrassi thing. That's just a whatever character thing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Thank you.
But I guess more generally, I think Becky is a good example of like a well-written religious character.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Just because I feel like TV shows often go the route with religious characters of making them do a complete 180 and making them become like very hypersexual, things like that. Like, they kind of went that way with Darcy a little bit, for example, and Claire as well. Like, Claire
definitely.
Yeah, like Darcy and Claire, both of their loss of religions made sense. How they reacted to it made sense. But I really like how with Becky, they kind of have similar types of trauma happen to her, but she never kind of does that 180, I guess.
Yeah, she stays religious the entire time. Like, her religion is not connected to her views, as she shows.
Right. Like, she never loses her religion like Darcy and Claire do, which I really like, because I feel like that's maybe more realistic, perhaps, when someone is brought up religious, that they don't just lose it necessarily.
I mean, I don't know. I did. So I'm not one to just say. Because I guess the point is, like, growing up religious, once you get to a certain age, you're kind of realizing, why do the people around me like think these certain ways, and they're also religious? And I feel like there tends to be a tie-in. It's kind of hard to be religious and also be like, hey, like, gay people are people, you know, because a lot of the sacraments are like, oh, marriage is between a man and a woman. So like, how can you be religious but also be okay with gay people getting married? Which obviously she has that whole thing with like Adam, but then Adam is a boy. So, but her family obviously did not agree with that, but yeah. That kind of thing. So it's like, I don't think it's unrealistic to be like, oh, religion equals having views that are more, I guess, as you would say, right leaning or like conservative. But Becky somehow keeps them separate. I think she more believes in the idea of like God and Jesus versus like the church, and that's, I think, the difference.
Yeah, and I like that aspect of her character, that she does, like, she does struggle with her religion, for sure. But I like how she never loses it, because I think that is done more often than not on TV shows.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have anything to say about the video games thing? Like, that was basically just kind of the backdrop of the whole family situation.
The only thing I have to say is the fact that Hunter reminds me of one of the kids from Coraline. Like, the friend whose head is always, like, yes. Weird. Yes. He looks like him. If he was claymation. But that was about it.
Well, like I said, like, to me, this is Vampire Claire Part 2.
Yeah, it was a weird, I did not like how she, like, told her mom that, like, I made out with a guy online, like, in order to get her attention. Like, that's annoying that was the only thing to get this woman's attention.
That just shows how terrible her fucking mom is.
Yeah, I know. But it's also, Hunter, thank God her and Hunter never dated. It didn't even seem like he had any interest in dating her anyways, which is even funnier.
Yeah.
He's like, you go to Degrassi, I want nothing to do with you, you weirdo.
Yeah, but I just love this, because similar to Vampire Claire, it's something that is so kind of outlandish and something that you wouldn't see on any other show, but they make it work in the context of what's happening. And I just love that.
I think it's because they didn't show me a lot. They didn't show them having internet sex or whatever, and I was cool with it.
I guess the other aspect of this plot that I liked was, I feel like Degrassi kind of ignores the characters' home lives a lot of the time. Like, pretty much they're at the school like 99% of the time on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't often get a look into kind of how people spend the rest of their lives when they're not at school. But bringing like that aspect to Becky was kind of necessary given what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it really kind of showed how school was her escape. And at home was a place where she didn't feel safe. And video games was the way to get that escape during non-school hours. So I just kind of like that insight into, I guess, a family dynamic when maybe not shown on Degrassi all the time.
I think that's fair. That's good.
Like, I know I just said like, oh, Becky didn't become like the hypersexual person. Like this is the closest that Becky will ever get to becoming a sexual person because of her trauma.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I thought it was super out of character for her to even pretend to have like weird video game sex, though. I will say, I was like, come on, like, we know she wouldn't do that.
It was just silly to me. I was like, oh, Becky, she's going through it. She's having cyber sex with freshmen.
Ew.
And we'll get to Hunter eventually. I'm sure we'll both have many thoughts about him.
Unfortunately, is really what I'm gonna say.
But yeah, overall, I really liked Becky's development this season. Like, to me, she is the best part of all the seniors in seasons 13 and 14.
Wow, big statement.
Well, what is she going up against? Honestly.
Yeah, you're right. I already said enough about how I feel about Becky, so I'm gonna save that.
Yeah, that's all I have. I just really like Becky.
All right. Do you want to move into Claire?
Yes. Claire, and this segment will also include Claire and Drew. Okay. So Claire, after her whole chemo brain thing, Eli comes back from school and Claire kind of wants to make it special because she hasn't seen him in a couple weeks, but he seems pretty distant and she ends up finding cigarettes in his bag. She goes and confronts him about it, but he ends up telling her that he kissed Lenore, a girl in his classes at school, which is actually a lie because at this point, if you've seen Eli dorm life, he and Lenore were roommates. So kind of sketchy there. Eli tries to apologize, blah, 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 but Claire initially isn't really having it. At the same time, Drew had just broken up with Bianca. So they end up confiding in each other and they briefly kiss. And Claire kind of has a freak out about this Drew kiss. She pretty much immediately gets back together with Eli in her post-kiss freak out. So kind of some awkwardness between Claire and Drew because of this, but her and Eli are back together. Drew later confronts her about the kiss, but Claire says that it meant nothing, like she was just going through it. Bit of time later, Claire plans to go bungee jumping to celebrate being cancer-free for 6 months. And she's excited to do it with Eli, but Eli cancels last minute because he has work to do. Connor ends up inviting Drew, which makes Claire feel weird because she's still feeling a little odd about the kiss. But they end up going bungee jumping together. They end up getting really wet, and there's a ton of sexual tension between them. The next day, or I guess that night, Claire ends up having a wet dream about Drew, one of Claire's classic sexy dreams. And she initially is like, oh, Allie, what do I do? And Allie's like, only interact with him when you need to, like only for student council things. But when Drew asks Claire for help for something relating to Mr. Hollingsworth, Claire's immediately like, oh my God, yes, Drew, I'll help. So they end up having a pretty fun time, like doing this task. But Claire is kind of wary of her feelings, especially when Eli shows up to surprise her for the bungee jumping. So Drew kind of tries to cover for her for that, but Claire ends up going and spending the night with Eli. And this is just a note for season 14. This is the only possible time where Eli and Claire could have conceived their baby. So just make a note of that for later. A bit later on, Claire starts feeling weird when Becky tells her that everybody at the school thinks her and Drew are a thing because they're like work spouses. They're always like finishing each other's sentences. They work very well together. So Claire realizes that she has a crush and she kind of wants to kill the crush. So she's like, okay, I'm going to set Drew up with somebody on a dating app. So when she is kind of setting up this app, Imogen makes a comment that Claire isn't Drew's type, which kind of makes Claire a bit insecure because she's like, oh, why wouldn't Drew like me? So she actually makes an anonymous profile for herself, like basically with all of her qualities. And she makes Drew kind of choose between several profiles for him to go on a date with her profile being included. But he ends up choosing another girl and it actually goes well on their first date. And Claire gets pretty jealous and she actually ends up talking to this girl and sabotaging her chances with Drew by telling her that he just got out of a relationship with Bianca and that they were engaged. So this kind of causes some problems with this new girl. Drew ends up confronting Claire about this because he's like, why did you set me up with this girl and then sabotage my chances with her? And Claire confesses to having a crush and that she's pretty confused about things. And Drew ends up saying that he knew that the fake profile was her and that things would be different if Claire wasn't with Eli. So this is the calm before the storm, because Claire is excited for Eli to come and visit for the Wild West dance, but he bails on her yet again. So Claire is feeling very isolated from Eli. Drew ends up helping her chase a rat out of her house. And Claire is just realizing how unhappy she is with Eli being so emotionally absent after the whole cheating thing and just with long distance being so hard. So she ends up breaking up with him over voicemail. And at the Wild West dance, Claire and Drew end up having sex in the prop room pretty much right after Claire tells Drew that she and Eli broke up. But of course, with the whole voicemail breakup, Eli shows up just then, right as they're like getting out of having sex. Eli is angry and confused. Like, why did you break up with me over voicemail? Why are you hooking up with Drew right now? He's like, our epic romance shouldn't end this way. But Claire says that our relationship ended weeks ago because we haven't talked in so long. But Drew realizes when Eli shows up that Claire is rebounding off of him, and he actually ends up leaving her as well. So Claire is basically left all alone. She just had sex with Drew and he left her. So she is trying to find new hobbies being newly single, but Allie's busy. So she ends up joining Jack's triathlon team. And Claire is kind of venting about her boy problems. Jack invites her to go axe throwing. Claire has a fun time because it's like a good, I guess, stress relief to throw some axes at walls. But she is worried that Jack thinks that she is gay because everybody at this axe throwing club is apparently a lesbian. But Jack clarifies that she is just happy to be Claire's friend. Soon after this, Claire is like continuing to be angry at Drew, and she tries to embarrass him with a lie detector test, being like, why do you screw over girls, blah, blah, blah. She feels very rejected, and she invites Allie this time to go axe throwing, and she throws an axe at Drew's face. Drew and Claire actually end up having a talk about this later on. We'll talk about that later because it's a bit more from Drew's perspective. But to close the season, Claire ends up traveling to New York for her Columbia interview, but she ends up in the hospital when she accidentally walks into a pole and passes out. Because there is a hurricane happening at the time, she has to stay the night in New York, and the only person she knows there is Eli. So she calls him up. Things are awkward at first, but they do reconnect when they talk about how they're both single. Nothing ever happened with Drew. Nothing ever happened with Lenore while they were broken up. And Claire, the next day, ends up killing her interview. After the interview, Eli comes up to her and says that he wants to try things out again because he is not over her, and tells her to think about it. Claire then travels back to Degrassi, and she considers making things work. But of course, the season ends with Claire getting a phone call from the hospital saying that everything in her blood work is okay for her and her baby.
Jesus. To start, never thought I would have said this, but honestly, kind of turned into a Drew and Claire fan.
Honestly, me too.
Like, what? I couldn't believe how much I was rooting for them to be together, and then how disappointed I was when Drew pulled the plug.
No, literally, exact same feeling for me.
I'm so glad. I was like, Jasper's gonna hardcore judge me for this, and I don't even care. No. That's awesome.
No, Drew and Claire just worked so well for me. It's yep. Crazy.
I couldn't even believe it. I could not believe how much I was like, I love this. I love their friendship. I love how like much he genuinely cared about her even before he had a crush on her. Like they just really worked. It just worked. And I was so disappointed when he decided that he didn't want to be with her.
No, literally the exact same. Because for me, it's like, they spent so much time building up Claire and Drew just for nothing to happen. It's yep. Like, you just wasted my time.
It was such a stupid Drew thing to do, too. It was so him to just pull the plug and just hook up with a girl and then be like, yeah, I don't want to see you, actually. Okay, but we'll talk about more of that in a minute. I don't even know. Where are we starting?
You want to just start with Eli and Claire drifting apart?
Yeah. Yeah, I did not see that really coming because I think we kind of talked about this with the like cancer thing. Like he was around. It wasn't like he wasn't there. And then he goes to school and like that's when it starts to drift apart. And then he cheats on her. You know, like obviously how do you bounce back from that? But he didn't even like try, it sounds like.
Yeah. Like for me, it's like the whole drifting apart thing with the long distance, I feel like that would work for a standard high school couple. It's like they're a regular high school couple. They went to prom together, blah, blah, blah. But for Eli and Claire, who have been through as much as they have been together, being long distance, and like, keep in mind, the long distance is like, what, 8 hours, 8 hour drive?
Well, okay. From where I am, and are they in Toronto?
Yeah, Toronto and New York City.
Okay, Toronto from where I am is about 3.5 hours. And I am about probably, about like maybe 5 hours from New York City, 4.5.
8 hour drive. So I feel like that's close enough where you could visit more, like if you really, really wanted to, like just hop on a bus, right?
I guess, so like let's make this like a more realistic, like long distance relationship, right? Like I entered college and I was in a relationship. It was difficult because one, I couldn't just leave because 8 hours is a long drive. Like, are you just going for a weekend? Like that's a lot. Flying is expensive. Do you really have money? And the person was in high school at the time. So then there's the aspect of, would their parents let them go? Mm-hmm. You know, is it, even though Claire went alone to New York City, but whatever. There's just like a lot of things, like how do you find the time? Like your breaks might line up, but also maybe not, because Canada does different breaks than like New York. So it's a matter of time that they were going to break up, but just the way that it was done was kind of annoying.
Because again, like Claire and Eli drifting apart just because for some reason they're not able to call frequently.
Yeah.
Like, they're in the same time zone. I don't know. Like how busy is Eli as a freshman that he can't give her a call once a night?
Right. I was going to say, you and I make it work.
Right. It's like, and we're 3 hours apart. So.
Yep.
Like what's the issue here? Like it was just kind of like contrived, because he also cheats on her after what, a month, maybe two, being away. It's like, if you are cheating that early on into college, that means your relationship to begin with wasn't strong. But we know that's not the case with Eli and Claire.
Yeah, he was like, well, I missed you so much. It's like, well, because you didn't put any fucking effort in, buddy.
From the Eli dorm life, apparently this girl who is his roommate is like very comfortable being like sexy towards him. So
yeah, if we're going based off that, then yes, absolutely.
Yeah. But yeah, it just doesn't really make sense to me. Like you said last time, I think it would have made sense if they connected it to the cancer thing, that like, oh, he spent his whole summer with her with this whole traumatic thing with her health. But it's literally just surface level. I was away from you, so I couldn't control myself, which just doesn't make sense with what we know about Eli and Claire.
And Eli, like, yeah, he refers to their romance. It was an epic romance. Like, it's always an epic romance, blah, 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 like all the time.
Yeah, and that kind of rubbed me the wrong way too, because in season 12, they talked about how they should stop romanticizing their relationship.
Yeah, I think they like forgot that they said that, because this entire thing is just them being like, our epic romance, I'm writing a movie about it. Also, like, is it really that epic? Like, in reality, like, what happened? Like, okay, Eli was bipolar and didn't know. And he also found someone who was dead. But that was like about it. Like, that wasn't even their romance.
Yeah. So it just doesn't work for me. For me to believe that Eli and Claire actually drifted apart this whole season, or even that he cheated on her in the first place. It's just like, it doesn't fit with anything we know about these characters.
The cheating, especially for me, doesn't make any sense, because like Eli like worshipped Claire. The communication, fine, but like cheating, no. And the fact that he cheated and then like didn't change his attitude about anything, like he didn't try more.
Yeah, and honestly, he continues to worship Claire, because when she visits him, he's like, oh, do you think Lenore could ever stand up to Claire Edwards? Never.
Right?
Exactly. It's like, you need to get over her at this point.
It's inconsistent. Like, obviously, I'm still rooting for them. But honestly, I don't know, though, because Drew really got in there. He really, he was close one.
Yeah, it's like, the whole point of this whole conflict between them is long distance relationships are hard.
Yes.
Like that was the whole thesis. But with many things in season 13, they're telling us that that is the case. Like they're telling us that they're having communication problems, but they're not really showing us what's going on with them. Like, why is Eli so busy? What is going on?
That's the thing too. It all sounds like it's from Eli's side.
Right. Like it seems like Claire is like trying to reach out. She's inviting him to go places. I guess maybe she never made an effort to visit him, perhaps, because we never really saw that. But from what they do show us, it's all on Eli. Like Eli's the one who isn't picking up calls. Eli's the one who is bailing on plans, you know?
And I do kind of get it a little bit that like it is tough like to just come home for one weekend and leave, especially when you're like working on a lot of stuff for college. But I don't know. It's just the most out of character thing is the cheating, and that's pretty much the only issue that the biggest issue I have with it.
And even the bare minimum of just like talking to each other once a day is apparently not possible, which just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes men can be like that though. I'm not a big texter. I also don't like to talk on the phone. I don't like to FaceTime. It's like, okay, well, I guess I'll never see you again.
But that's not Eli.
Well, apparently he won't pick up. But anyway, okay, so Claire and Eli falling apart. Where do we want to go from there? How like their miscommunications kind of led to Claire's growing feelings for Drew.
Yeah. Even though I disagree with it being even possible that Eli and Claire drift apart, like, okay, let's just accept that that's the case. Fine.
Yeah.
Given that Claire and Drew developing feelings for each other really worked for me. I feel like everybody saw it coming because they did the same thing with Sav and Holly J with president and vice president. So like I think we all saw it coming, but I still enjoyed it, I would say.
I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would. I guess I forgot how like much of a buildup there was for this, to be honest. Or any of it, really, because I was like, Drew and Claire, how would that ever work? I get it.
It only works because Adam's fucking dead.
Yeah, that's true. But I like their friendship. I love that after they kiss, Drew is like, oh, guess I gotta tell her that I'm not interested. And she's like, I literally am not interested in you. And I'm like, oh my God, that's so good.
I actually was thinking about this earlier, that both Claire and Drew kind of feel insecure when they think the other person is not their type.
Right?
Like that happens for both of them. So I thought that was a very interesting detail and honestly kind of added to me wanting them to get together.
Yeah, because I think it kind of opened the eyes of like, it's like, oh, I'm assuming, like, Drew obviously assumed that Claire liked him because what girl hasn't liked Drew at this point? So,
Right.
like, I get that sense where it's like, oh my gosh, a girl doesn't like me? Like, who would have thought? Where Claire on the other side is kind of like, why wouldn't this hot guy like me? Like, I'm smart, I'm cool. Like, and you know what's even better though is that there was never, even though they like had the dating app profile and like there was no picture and whatnot, she was never like insecure about how she looked. It was more of the like, why doesn't he find me interesting versus like, why doesn't he find me pretty?
Right. Like that's why she didn't put a picture on her fake profile.
Well, that I figured was because she couldn't, because then it would just be straight catfishing.
I guess so. But like her goal, I guess, was to get Drew to like her personality.
Yes, but Drew's not that dumb.
Yeah, he figured that one out pretty easily, I guess.
Yeah,
But from Claire's side, like her being horny for Drew fits into, I guess, my thesis of Claire's development that I've mentioned before about her sexual development as a girl. Because honestly, her whole kind of being so horny for Drew the whole season, and even like the wet dream that she has, to me, it's Declan part two. Because like Declan and Drew kind of have the same role in the school. Like they're both the hot, popular guy, right? But in season nine, Claire was a ninth grader. There was no way she was ever going to get with Declan. But now she's a senior and she has blossomed, I guess you could say. And now Drew is somebody who is actually attainable. So it's kind of showing how over time Claire has developed as a person that now she is actually able to get the hot guy at school. She does get him. It, of course, doesn't work out, but it kind of changes the whole dynamic compared to when she was a little baby as a ninth grader.
Yes. And I also, it's funny because, like, I don't know how much of any of this is real, but, like, did she manifest this by dreaming about it? Because, like, I get it. Like, Allie's like, a dream is just like, it doesn't mean anything. But, like, we knew it did in this moment. Yeah. Like, we knew that Claire was into Drew, and the dream just confirmed it. I just, like, don't know how much I would have to get paid to do, like, that. Like, Drew just saying those cringy-ass lines, I'd be like, I don't know.
With regards to the manifesting thing, I was thinking right after sex, Claire's like, that is nothing like how I dreamed.
Right. Yep, that's so funny. Well, yeah, like, what do you expect when you're doing it in a prop closet?
Right? Okay. Do I want to go into that?
Sure.
So, for me, the build-up to Claire and Drew was very well done. I really liked it. Their friendship was great. But the fact that they have sex literally 2 seconds after Claire dumps Eli and in a fucking prop room in the school is just absolutely absurd to me.
I don't know. Because would I like to think I wouldn't do the same thing?
What? You would have sex in the school?
No, not as an adult teacher. Absolutely not. No, oh, yeah. I'm thinking about along the lines of like the concept of her not waiting after the breakup longer. Is that like an issue you have with it or just a location?
So for me, Claire was emotionally checked out of Eli long before she broke up with him.
Yes, that's what I was going
to
say.
So I guess for me, it's fine that she went to him right away. I guess I was kind of exaggerating there. Like maybe the fact that she hadn't actually talked to Eli to break up with him, it was just a voicemail, is maybe where I'm like, it was too soon afterwards, where like she hadn't even really processed the fact that she broke up with him before she went to go fuck Drew.
Okay, hear me out. I think she broke up with Eli to sleep with Drew. If Drew hadn't been like, I would come over if you didn't have a boyfriend, I don't think that Claire would have broken up with Eli.
That was after the rat scene, right?
Yes, that was the same day.
Yeah.
So I do not think that Claire would have broken up with Eli if Drew hadn't been like, I would be with you if you were not with your boyfriend, but like actually meant it this time, like said to her face, whatever. I think she broke up with Eli so that she could hook up with Drew. I don't think she broke up with Eli because she was done with their relationship. I think she just didn't want to feel guilty.
I guess.
And that's why the voicemail, she could be like, well, we were broken up. Technically, you know, like she could get around it.
Yeah, I could see that. But like, even besides that point, Claire, she only had sex the first time a couple months ago with Eli.
And I don't even remember their first time. Was that in season 12?
Yeah, it was at prom.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. So for me, it's like Claire only recently just lost her virginity. And sex has always kind of been a big deal to her, right?
Yes.
So I can see your point that like she broke up with Eli to hook up with Drew.
And not feel guilty.
Yeah. But to have sex with him literally right away felt out of character for Claire to me. Like, yes, I recognize she was super horny for him, 100%, but so horny that she kind of threw away all of the kind of morals that she has for herself didn't really work for me.
I get it. I see what you're saying. I think in her eyes, she was going to be in a relationship with Drew, which is why I think she felt like it was more okay to do that. That's where everybody thought it was going. Like, I don't even think she was like gaslit into thinking it was going to happen. Like, I genuinely believe that her going into this was like, I'm sleeping with this guy and like, I like him. He likes me. I think we're going to be in a relationship. So like that works in my case. But also some people change their points of view on sex after they have it. Sometimes once you have it, you're like, oh, it's actually like not that big of a deal. Like for some people. And I think she might be one of them.
Then they maybe should have said that, because when Drew leaves her right after that, she kind of makes a whole big deal about how they had sex and then he dumped her, right? Well,
he did it to Zoe too and took her virginity. So like she's not special.
I guess so. But like, I see your point that like maybe it doesn't mean as much to her anymore now that she has had sex with Eli. But the fact that she was so hung up on the fact that Drew left her right after they had sex tells me that she cares at least a bit about having sex with somebody.
But she never said, I regret having sex with him.
I guess.
So I don't think it's the sex part. I think it's the fact that he left her after like very strongly implying that they were going to be together.
Right. I think Connor had a funny line about it. It was like, Jenna and Allie are mad at you because you had sex with Claire and failed to follow through on a relationship.
Yep, absolutely.
So yeah, I think that said it pretty well. Yeah, so to me, I still don't really like how they had sex. In my view, it's like Drew and Claire had sex so that they could have baby daddy drama next season, and that was really the only reason.
Okay, that I will get behind you on.
But besides that, like, I really, really liked Drew and Claire, and I'm so sad they didn't get together.
Same. I really am disappointed that I was going to tweet that off our account, but I want to double check. I wanted to be like, this is now a Drew and Claire stan account.
Yeah, I don't think it's a popular opinion. I think we are in the minority here.
All right, I might tweet it anyway, just to see what people say.
Yeah, but because I've seen on Degrassi forums a lot that people kind of clown on Claire when she says, like, he chased a rat for me. They're like, that was such a cringy line. Like, that's all Drew did for her. All he did was chase a rat for her. But I think that's just like kind of a silly line that's kind of indicative of how much Drew actually meant to Claire after that whole season.
And also the fact that he did this because, like, the whole point is that he's there for her. For as little as chasing a mouse to, like, being there for chemo brain. He was there.
So I am a Drew and Claire fan. Of course, again, we have to kind of ignore the fact that Eli and Claire drifting apart makes no sense. But given that, Drew and Claire, I'm on board.
Yep, totally on board.
Okay, so I guess the next thing is just Claire being so petty towards Drew after he dumps her.
It's hard for me to be on his side because, like, obviously he would be a rebound, right? Like, that makes sense. She was in a how many year relationship with Eli by this point? But did he not think that before? That's what I'm not getting.
Because to me, like I said, Claire was emotionally checked out of Eli already. I could see how Drew kind of thought he was a rebound because Eli literally showed up while they were having sex.
Yes.
So I see how Drew kind of perceived it that way. But I feel like rather than just dumping her, he should have talked to her about it first, about his concerns. But he didn't.
Yes, I don't really understand. They never had that conversation afterwards. I mean, I get, like, him being like, were you guys even broken up? I understand that question of it, but he just never made an attempt to talk to her. Actually be like, this is how I'm feeling. How are you feeling? Why are we not feeling the same way? Like, all this stuff.
He just kind of, I guess because of Dallas, he's like, oh, Claire's rebounding with me the same way that I rebounded with Zoe. But I feel like that's kind of an unfair comparison because he didn't know Zoe. Him and Claire have been friends for months at this point, but he didn't know Zoe. So I don't know how you could really compare the rebound, even if you want to call it a rebound for Claire.
Yeah, I think they just needed an excuse to keep Claire single for when she goes to New York. And that was it. That's all I can think about.
Well, obviously the end game is for Eli and Claire to get back together, right? So they couldn't have Claire and Drew be long-term, I guess. So they're like, we want Claire and Drew to get together, but we can't actually have them be together, right?
Yeah, they didn't even make them together at all.
Right.
That's the worst part.
So Claire being petty afterwards makes sense. Like, we've seen Claire be a judgy bitch at times, and this is just one of those times. The whole embarrassing him with the lie detecting was like, Claire, come on, how old are you now?
Yeah, that was stupid.
But yeah, good on her, I guess, for finding an outlet for her feelings with the axe throwing, because she's been through a lot, apparently, at this point. So
I love axe throwing. I'm, like, weirdly good at it.
Ooh, I've never done it.
Well, if we ever hang out in person again, we'll have to do that next.
Yes. We should print out a picture of Drew.
Oh my God, that would be so good. Okay, anything else with Claire?
I guess I was thinking about how this season fits into Claire's character overall, because I feel like we've talked, at least in the cancer part, about how cancer didn't really change her at all.
Yeah.
So last night I was thinking, like, oh, how is this whole Drew situation? How did it kind of change her character or make her think differently about things? And I kind of came to the conclusion that Claire isn't really reflecting on her actions much at all, kind of like how you were saying how Becky isn't really doing that. I was like, oh, Claire's just kind of reacting to the things that are happening to her. Like, she breaks up with Eli because he's not communicating. She's pissed at Drew because he dumped her after sex, rather than kind of thinking about how she is kind of playing a role in these situations.
No, that definitely makes sense. I mean, maybe there's the aspect of like her being like, life is short, I need to like do more, but that's like really about it.
Right. I was like, maybe she's maybe taking more risks with her life after the cancer thing. Like, that's the only way I could think her having sex with Drew could maybe work.
That makes sense.
But other than that, it's like, none of this really made Claire a better person. So maybe she's a bit more in touch with her feelings now. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the risk aspect might be it, but they didn't play too much into it for us to be like, that's it.
Yeah.
Besides the weird bungee jumping, I guess. And then landing in the water. What? I was like, oh my God, did they die? Like, no, I know they don't die, but like, that was a close one.
They just wanted them both to be wet.
Yes, so stupid. But whatever. Very horny season for them.
Yes. And you know I love horny Claire.
I know you do.
Okay, last thing for Claire. Reconnecting with Eli.
Forced a bit.
Yeah, to me, we talked about this last time with Eli, that Eli just has no agency in this season at all. When Claire apologizes for breaking up with him over voicemail and getting with Drew, he's like, oh, it's no big deal. Things like that happen. But like, Eli doesn't care about this? Who is this man? Like, what are you talking about?
Well, because he already cheated. So he has no excuse. He can't care.
But like, at the Wild West dance, he was so pissed. And now he's apparently just over it.
Well, how many months do you think it's been since then?
Not more than 2, maybe 3.
So let's say max 3 months, right? Like, you'd get over it. And like, he can't even be mad because he cheated too.
But
even
though
she didn't cheat, technically.
Well, yeah, she didn't cheat. But also, we know he's not over it because he wants to get back together with her.
Well, I think over it in the sense of like, he's over that she broke up with him and hooked up with somebody else, like pretty soon. I think it's more in the sense that like, he's like, I get it. I had cheated on her. I was a bad communicator. Like, from his point of view, it like kind of, I think he like rationalized it to a sense of like, that was my fault that this happened.
But he never really apologized. Claire was the one who apologized.
Wait, what did he need to apologize for?
The lack of communication and the cheating.
He apologized for the cheating, didn't he?
When it first happened.
Yeah, I mean, like, you can't keep, like, what are you going to keep apologizing for?
Whatever, I guess so.
Sorry, I'm like, I don't know what you want from him.
Well, I guess for me, it's just like, they're setting Eli and Claire to get back together without actually talking about anything that actually happened between them.
Well, if they talked about it, then they definitely wouldn't get back together.
Exactly. So it's like, maybe they shouldn't get back together.
Oh, no, I know. But, you know, fan fave. You can't keep them apart.
Well, like, for me, like, remember when they got back together, like, at the Frostival?
Yes.
It's like, they talked through the issues that they had in season 10 with Eli having his bipolar episodes. Like, they talked through that, and they're like, okay, we're going to take this slow. Like, we both know what went wrong the first time, so blah, blah, blah. But this time, it's like, okay, I see you again. We're just not going to talk about why we broke up, and we're just going to get back together, you know?
I don't know. I mean, like, it was kind of a choppy ending anyway.
Yeah. I've seen this opinion before, and I kind of agree with it, that Eli and Claire should have had one last, like, hurrah at the season 12 prom where they had sex, and then they should have just broken up there and be like, we might reconnect in the future, but let's just leave it as it is on this high note and just continue from there. And then Eli shouldn't have been in seasons 13 and 14.
Well, the whole issue is, like, they're both going to be in New York in a year.
Yeah.
So like, working through a year of distance is not that bad, in my opinion. But then Claire got cancer. So obviously you can't break up with a girl that has cancer. That's bad. Instead, you're going to cheat on her after she's done with chemo. And then you're not going to talk to her. And then you're going to break up and show up to the dance that she begged you to go to. And then you're going to get back together.
Just doesn't work for me.
Oh no, it's dumb. It's really dumb.
I think we might talk a bit more about Eli's perspective in season 14, because I think he does get some plots to himself. But yeah, here it's just like, Eli and Claire should not be back together anymore. It's like, I'm over it. I'm done.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It should have been done. And I, as big of a Eli and Claire fan I am, like, just the fact that I was sold into Drew. Like, right? Obviously, I'm not that big of a fan. Do you want to move into Drew?
Yeah. So, final segment. Let's finish this. Okay. So, Drew, we already kind of talked about the Winston thing with Degrassi TV, but what happens right after that is that Bianca comes back from college for Thanksgiving, and she doesn't actually tell Drew that she's in town until Dallas actually finds out first. So Drew like tracks her down at the dot, and Bianca actually breaks up with him right there because she says that she feels like a different person after her first few months of college, and she kind of wants the freedom to explore herself at college. Drew is kind of devastated because of this, but he kind of invites Bianca to the Thanksgiving dinner to try and win her back, to kind of show her like that like he's a more mature person now that he's president and that he's taking responsibility for things. And he kind of manipulates Bianca into coming by saying that, like, my mom just lost a son, don't make her lose a daughter too, which I think was pretty fucked up. But they're kind of playing along as boyfriend and girlfriend for Audra. But of course, it doesn't work very well, and they officially break up. And of course, while they are both sad, he and Claire briefly kiss, and then they do their whole thing. But Drew then kind of throws himself into president things. He ends up hosting Mr. Hollingsworth at Degrassi for like a speech or something, and Mr. Hollingsworth offers him a job opportunity. So he gets some help from Zoe in preparing for the interview, and him and Zoe end up hooking up and becoming friends with benefits. He ends up doing well at the interview and gets the job, and then he kind of starts officially, unofficially going out with Zoe. He ends up kind of skipping hanging out with his friends because Zoe wants to show him off at a party. He feels kind of weird about the fact that Zoe's taking their relationship more seriously than he is. So they have a talk about being casual. She says that she's on board and they have sex, but then she's kind of acting like their boyfriend, girlfriend. So Drew kind of tries to break up with her, but it doesn't work when she says that it was her first time having sex. So he feels bad and makes things official with her. But when she continues to try to spend time with him, he's like, I can't do this. And he dumps her, which makes a whole debacle when he's giving a speech for Mr. Hollingsworth and Zoe's mom comes in and confronts Drew about having sex with Zoe. So there's a whole thing that we've kind of already mentioned, but Drew doesn't really take responsibility for what happened. He ends up saving his job, but Audra ends up reading him for how terribly he handled the situation and how he was just using Zoe to make himself feel better post Bianca. He tries to apologize with Zoe and he swears off dating so that he could be a better man and a better boyfriend in the future, which of course we know isn't the case because he hooks up with Claire pretty immediately afterwards. But after the whole Claire debacle, Jenna and Allie are kind of icing Drew out from the friend group because, again, he kind of left her after having sex. He tries to talk to them, but it doesn't work because he ends up getting sent breast pictures from Mrs. Hollingsworth because Drew had walked in on Miss H crying in the pool house about how her husband is cheating on her. So Miss H was drunk or something, I guess, and sent Drew, who is barely not a minor, some boobs, very uncomfortable. Drew goes and talks to Miss H about it, and they kind of talk things through, but Frankie, little baby Hollingsworth, sees them hug. Drew ends up telling Mr. Hollingsworth about this whole situation to kind of get ahead of things so that, like, he doesn't look bad when Mr. H ultimately finds out, but he gets fired because of this. So Drew is very upset about this, and he tries to talk to Mr. H, but Mr. H is like, get out of here. Like, they end up falling in the pool. It's a whole mess. But Drew is like, you know, you fired me unfairly. So he gets Mr. Hollingsworth to make him a letter of recommendation so that he could move forward in his career after this. He also ends up apologizing to Claire after this whole situation, saying that, like, I'm sorry that, like, I left you out to dry, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, I really miss being your friend, and I hope that we can become friends again. And finally, Drew and Becky, they kind of connected because of the whole Zoe trial thing, and they have been getting closer. And Becky especially is very upset about her brother being in jail, so Drew is kind of being her rock because of all this. But because he knows that Becky is going through a hard time, he says that he'll distance himself even though he has feelings for her. But when the hurricane comes to Degrassi, it prevents anybody from leaving the dance, and Becky is missing. Drew ends up finding her in the boiler room of all places for Drew. And they get locked in and there's a gas leak. So they have a very near-death experience. They end up confessing their feelings for each other in the boiler room and kiss just as the others find them. After the storm passes, all of their friends give Drew their blessing to see Becky, and Drew and Becky officially get together.
Okay. That's how I feel about that. All right. There's so much we're going to be still to talk about. Okay. Bianca and Drew break up. Fine. Like, I get it. They're not going to bring Bianca back. She's way too good for him. We've always known she's way too good for him. Her character development has been insane. Like, would I have loved to see her on the show? Absolutely. Do I understand why she doesn't want to be engaged as a freshman in college to a man who's doing his fifth year in high school? Yes.
Okay, I think you're underselling how important Drew and Bianca are to each other.
I know, like, but she's not the same. Like, I get it. She is not the same person anymore. And he, like, even though he's, like, quote-unquote changed, he hasn't. We see how he treats all the women in this whole season. Like, he hasn't changed. He's just in charge of things now, which is also scary.
Well, for me, it's like, I see how it makes sense on Bianca's end that she kind of wants the freedom to explore college on her own terms without kind of being held down, because that could lead to the whole Eli and Claire situation where they kind of end up resenting each other. So it makes sense because it's not really like a malicious breakup. It's like, I still love you, I'll always love you, but we just won't be together for now.
Yeah.
And I fully expect Drew and Bianca to get together once Bianca is permanently back in town, you know?
I would like to think so. I would hope so.
Yeah. So while it is disappointing that they broke up, I do think they maybe should have shown a bit more of how Bianca came to this conclusion rather than just kind of surprising us with it.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't really even know that she was not feeling it until she just didn't tell him that she was home.
Right, because like in the pills episode, right, Drew and Bianca have a couple phone calls there, and Bianca is like very supportive. It's like she seems very invested in like what's going on with Drew. So it does kind of seem like out of left field that Bianca is suddenly feeling this way. I think what could have maybe worked was having a Bianca mini episode series like they did with Eli.
Oh, that would have been so cute. I love Bianca.
Yeah, that would have been very cute and actually maybe given some more context to the breakup. But again, it's just something we kind of have to accept happened, similar with Eli and Claire drifting apart. It's like, maybe it didn't make the most sense, but it kind of works, whatever.
Wait, I have a question. Was Bianca already away in the summer?
I don't think so.
Because she was not in any of the summer episodes, right?
Yeah, she was at the Adam funeral.
But that was it.
Yeah, I think she was probably around. We just didn't see her. Because she wasn't working at the summer camp.
Well, yeah, because I'm thinking, like, were her and Drew already doing distance in the summer? Like, did she want to break up with him before college but couldn't because Adam died? And you don't want to be that girlfriend, you know?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think she was around. We just didn't see her.
All right. Well, whatever. I mean, it's obviously, like, unfortunate. Like, I do love them. And I think if anyone has an epic romance, it's the two of them.
Yes.
In all honesty. But if they didn't break up, then Drew couldn't be the hottest guy in school.
Right. Like, the whole reason they broke up was so that Drew could be the it boy of Degrassi. It's like, they couldn't have him get with five different girls this season if he's still engaged to Bianca.
Exactly.
I guess even though him manipulating Bianca with Adam was kind of fucked up, I did like how Drew was trying to get her back by showing her how mature he is and how he's changed, because that is Drew's biggest insecurity.
Yeah.
That he's like, he's not good enough for Bianca, he's not smart, things like that. So I like how he was kind of trying to show her that he is more confident in himself now, because she's the person who got him the presidency in the first place.
Yes.
If you remember that. So yeah, I have more to say about kind of Drew's professional development, I guess.
You want to go into that?
Yeah. So, like, again, Drew's whole thing is like, he feels stupid. Like, everyone always tells him how stupid he is, and he really has internalized that from day one on the show. And I think this season generally helps him in that aspect. Like, I do think Drew is the most responsible he's ever been in this season. He does fuck up with like the TV thing, with Mr. Hollingsworth and Mrs. Hollingsworth, both of them sleeping with his vice president, you know. It's like he makes many mistakes, but I think for the most part, he makes up for them.
Yeah, like socially, he's still definitely an 18-year-old boy, but like professionally, he's turned it around.
Yeah. Especially with Mr. Hollingsworth, he tries really hard with that, which I honestly would never have expected from Drew. Like, he does become more mature in some aspects, but as we see, he's not mature in many other aspects. Yeah, that's where, like, Drew is kind of weird to me this season, because there are some episodes of his that are really great, but then there are some episodes that are really terrible. So it's like, in some cases, Drew really learns a lot, and he really shows how much he's grown over the years, but in other ways, it's like he's still the same Drew who cheated on Allie in the boiler room.
Yes, he's grown in the sense of, like, he thinks women are people, but he also doesn't care that much about them. Like, the way he
wants to. He wants to care, but
he's aware. He's aware that he has to grow. He just doesn't know how. Maybe?
He gets that whole self-help book, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I'm going to become a monk. I'm not going to date anybody. And then he proceeds to then date, like, Claire. Well, not date Claire, but he gets with Claire, right? Becky, yeah. That dating app girl, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, you say you learned your lesson from Zoe, but did you? Because you're clearly not doing anything differently than what you did with Zoe.
I don't know. I think he is just somebody who, like, Degrassi was like, what do we want to do with him? And we're like, let's just kind of keep him the same because he's, like, super attractive and, like, that's about it.
Because, like, I was thinking about the Zoe thing not only as a rebound thing, but also as kind of the confidence in himself with being stupid. Because the reason that him and Zoe connected was because she was helping him interview for Mr. Hollingsworth.
Yeah.
So I think it was kind of a double whammy that he was feeling sad that Bianca broke up with him. And he was kind of losing the confidence in himself of, like, being able to be mature and responsible. And then Zoe was kind of the person to give him both of those things, which is why it was, like, a perfect storm for all that nonsense to happen.
Probably because she's, like, 3 years younger than him.
Yeah.
And he's, like, trying to be older, but is not.
Yeah, because we do see Drew stand up for himself. Like, when Claire is, like, demonizing him, he's like, you need to tell Allie and Jenna to stop treating me like shit, you know? And when Mr. Hollingsworth fires him for the whole, like, boobs thing, like, he really stands up for himself, and he's like, that wasn't my fault, and you know that.
Yep.
He has his moments of, like, doing good for himself and for others, but then there's other times where he just completely fucks everyone over.
Yeah, I think he's just a high school boy. He's trying something. I don't know if it's his best, but he's trying.
And again, of course, unfortunate that none of this is related to Adam.
Well, whatever. Yeah, at this point, like, Adam's dead. Let's move on. Like, that's the moral of the story, honestly.
Yes, and I hate it.
I know.
Do you have anything to say about the whole, I guess, working for Mr. Hollingsworth in general and the boobs thing? it's just weird.
It felt really weird because I didn't really understand, like, what Drew wanted from that relationship with him. Because, like, we never knew what Drew wanted to do with his future. So, like, is it politics now? Like, is it running a campaign? Like, I guess because he's school president, he's leaning more towards, like, the politician aspect of the future. But I don't know. It was a weird overlap, in my opinion.
Yeah. Like, I liked, in general, how he dedicated himself to it and how he took it seriously. But yeah, it's like, what is Drew wanting to gain from this? Like, just, like, kind of networking? Even in season 14, we don't know what Drew's plans are after graduating. So
it seems like it might be networking, because that's what they tie it into in the end with Double D or whatever it is.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, he does that with Dallas, and then he's like, I got all these names because Mr. Hollingsworth fired me unfairly.
Yeah, honestly, I would have sued his ass.
Oh my god, he should have. Remember when he was like, hey, how much money can I give you to, like, shut you up?
right?
Over like $1 million.
Like his wife literally sexually harassed him, yep. You know?
Yep. And then he got fired, whatever.
He could have made a lot of money off of that.
Sure could have, but Drew's better than that. He's gonna fight for his fake party company that he made in business class in high school.
Ugh.
What are your thoughts? Do you care for it? I feel like, eh.
Yeah, I liked it, but again, it's just Drew is just such a hodgepodge of nonsense this season. He goes through every little thing that any character can.
Yeah, he's like the Claire of the season.
What do you mean by that?
Well, because Claire goes through so much shit over time, but like all he's just like her this season. It's just so much. Like him and his fiance break up, and then he hooks up with this underage girl who accuses him of rape, and then he works for a huge political guy who then fires him because his wife sent boob pics, and then has sex with a girl who just got out of like a 5-year relationship, and then says, I don't actually want to date you, I'm gonna date my dead brother's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Maybe I should start doing the summaries.
Okay, so Becky. Let's get into Becky then. Because for most of the season, like, I can see how Drew had some development, like, at least with the whole Mr. Hollingsworth thing and kind of standing up for himself. The Claire thing, like, even with the Claire thing where he said, oh, I'm swearing off dating, it's like, Claire and Drew were kind of building up to that before that, or I like even during the Zoe thing.
Yeah.
So like even Claire and Drew getting together despite like his whole I'm not dating anybody kind of made sense. But when he's getting together with Becky, it's like, dude, you really didn't learn anything this whole season, did you?
It's not even that. That's not what bothers me. It's the fact that I didn't even know either of them liked each other. I never for once picked up on it. Like, at all. Even when they were in the woods, did not pick up on it. I just figured at this point, like, even though they're almost the same age, like, Becky is almost like his little sister. That's right. How I was viewing it. And then all of a sudden, he's like, I know you like me. And I was like, what? What? I, like, yeah. did not know.
It just came out of nowhere. It's like, Becky is feeling sad in class about her boyfriend being in jail. And then all of his friends.
Not her boyfriend in jail. Oh, her brother.
Her brother in jail. And then all of their friends clock Drew for like knowing that Becky liked a song or something. It's like, what? Like, where did these feelings come from?
Yeah, and the fact that they were like, oh, we've been spending a lot of time together. Literally when? Because right? You've been with Claire this whole time.
Yeah.
And she's been with, I don't know, Hunter online.
Right. So again, it's a thing where like they're telling us what's going on without really showing it or developing it.
Yes. That pissed me off because they spent so much time developing Claire, like Claire and Drew, that like the Becky thing didn't make any sense. I was just so caught off guard. I didn't get, why are we doing this? Like, yeah, Becky's really nice, but also like you thought she killed your brother like a while ago. So why are you dating her? Very pretty. Get it. But stop sleeping with everybody. Stop right. It, Drew.
And like I said last time, Drew and Becky could have worked if they were connected because they were grieving over Adam. But that is not the case. It's just they're hanging out because Becky feels sad that her brother's in jail. And they apparently like each other now.
I just don't get it because that was the whole point of Imogen, I thought. I thought the whole point of Imogen being around is to be Becky's friend.
Right?
And then we just like threw that away because she got Jack. So now like Drew and Becky are friends. I know that they're friends because they do student council stuff together all the time, but like I don't get it. I don't understand.
Yeah. And honestly, it's just irresponsible of Drew to get with Becky right now when she is going through it.
Oh, I mean, like, what, you think Drew cares?
I think he should. I mean, he does, but he like isn't thinking any more critically than like, oh, I like her and she likes me.
Yeah, that's Drew for you right there.
So
don't worry, once they have sex, he'll be like, oh wait, it's my dead brother's girlfriend, and then he'll break up with her, even though I know that's not what happens, but like still.
Yeah, so Drew and Becky, it's just why? I feel like they just wanted the dramatic scene in the boiler room where like they might die for like season finale theatrics, but other than that, it's like, what was the reason? they don't even last that long. So it's like, what was the reason?
I was gonna say, can you ruin it and tell me why they break up?
Because Drew thinks he's having Claire's baby.
All right. Well, that's that. Awesome. Perfect.
So this is kind of a sad note to end on. We should have ended on the pregnancy.
We can wrap it all up with the fact that it doesn't make any sense that, like, it's obviously time-wise Drew's baby. That's it. It doesn't make any sense that it's Eli's baby.
We will get into that in season 14.
Well, I'm just trying to wrap it up in a better way. Well, wait, then, let's wrap up. We have to wrap up season 13 in general.
Oh, yes, we do have to do that.
Duh. Okay, real quick. Ranks a lot higher than I thought it would.
Really?
Yeah. There were some things that I didn't like. There were some things that I did. I really liked watching Miles, Zig, and Maya. I really liked the second part that we just talked about. Drew and Claire really surprised me. The court case with Zoe. Like, there's just like a lot of parts of this that I was like, huh, this was actually pretty entertaining.
And you didn't mention anything from the beginning of the season.
Well, like Maya and Miles and Zig and stuff. Well, like Zig comes in a little bit, but I like Maya and Miles' growth. Okay. And Zoe and Maya drama, like I like that.
Okay, yeah. So I agree with you that I enjoy all of those things. Season 13 just had a very rough start, absolutely, with the whole cancer, Adam stuff. Paris.
Allie. Like,
yeah, Allie. The whole Paris thing was like, okay, I guess. But I think once the season kind of got into a groove, it was not the best season by any means, but it was enjoyable.
Yes.
Definitely many structural problems, like all the ones that we just talked about just now, and many of the others that we mentioned in previous episodes.
Yes.
But I'd say overall, it's a mid-tier season. It's not great. It's not the worst. It has very good moments. It has very bad moments. But overall, it's passable. I did not think I could say the same for season 14.
I'm excited to get there because that one seems to just be a whole screw up of a season.
Yeah, I'm honestly looking forward to it, but also dreading it. I just want to get to next class.
I mean, we're going to get there. Don't you worry.
Yes, soon enough.
But until then.
Thanks for listening.
And we'll see you soon.